It seemed to me, once the message was there, it seemed to me that it led into a time of prayer rather than the other way around. So, message now, and then we'll sing again, and then we'll have our time of prayer, and then we'll bring the children back in and we'll come around the table, okay? Right. I do like to mess about. I was saying to Jeff just now that one or two churches I go and preach in, they helpfully have an order of service on the, and in very, very tiny print right down the bottom, it says, feel free to alter this order of service. Which is fine, except one or two of them laminate it. Good luck with changing that. Anyway, so we're going to come back to Psalm 37. I love Psalm 37. 1971. I was first year at uni, and God got hold of me. And I was baptised that summer, at the end of my first year. And it was the custom in that church to give you a little card with a verse on it. And my verse was verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act, which is what the King James Version says, the authorised. That's not quite right, because it, as you may have noticed when I read it, it leads on. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and this is what he will do. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. But that's been my verse ever since. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and then just leave it all to him. He knows what he's doing. Okay. Three things then to take away and think about. And the first one is the refrain that you might have noticed while we were reading, which is, do not fret. Do not fret. It comes up about three or four times in the little bit we read, and it comes up occasionally in the rest of the psalm as well. Do not fret. It's a lovely word, fret. It's more than just worrying. It's something that sort of sticks and gnaws at you, and you can't get rid of it, and it eats away at you, and it's David is looking out at the world and thinking, this isn't right. All those people doing well out of doing wrong, that can't be right. But that's what I'm seeing. And he says to himself, as much as to the rest of us, do not fret. Don't let that get under your skin. Because it makes you sort of misunderstand things, see things wrongly. Let me take you to another psalm. Oddly enough, Psalm 73. Not 37, 73. Where the psalmist here, whose name is Asaph, an Old Testament Asaph, not the saint whose cathedral is down the road. Asaph is looking out at the world and seeing exactly the same thing. This is what the wicked are like, always carefree, increasing in wealth. And he gets to the point where in the following verse he says, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure, in vain have I washed my hands in innocence. I've been plagued all day long. He's reached that point, and so can we at times, looking out at the world and seeing how well people do from doing wrong, from exploiting other people. You get to thinking, well, what's the point of following God? when those who don't seem to follow God get all the good stuff and none of the problems, and I'm here struggling away. Even Asaph is tempted to go there. It's easy to get discouraged like that. Well, what's the point? Why on earth should I bother following God at all? You start to see things wrongly. You start to misunderstand the way the world works, the way God works. Don't. Do not fret. Because that's not the way God sees it. Psalm 37, verse 13. He knows, the Lord knows, their day is coming. Doing wrong will bring its own deserts, sooner or later. Unless folk accept God's forgiveness, of course. And that's another refrain through Psalm 37. One is do not fret, and the other is the wicked won't get away with it forever. He expresses it in various different ways, but basically the wicked won't get away with it forever. He knows their day is coming. Don't be taken in by appearances. What Asaph saw, I've lost the page, that wasn't very clever. What Asaph saw, this is what the wicked are like, always carefree, increasing in wealth, no problems. It's not like that. It isn't true. It might look like that, but it ain't so. In the end, nobody will do well out of doing wrong. So at whatever level, when you look out at the world, whatever level, when you look out at the world, do not fret. Even Putin isn't going to get away with it forever. There'll be an end to his ways, to his rule. God sets limits to evil doing. Pray for Putin's soul now, before it's too late. And for ourselves, in our own lives, the folk that rub us up the wrong way, the folk that get up our noses and under our skins. And pray for them. The folk who seem to be prospering and couldn't give a fig for God. Pray for them. Do not fret. Patience, God will sort it out. He does set limits. He does know what he's doing. Trust. Sometimes it's hard to understand why things happen the way they do. And there isn't a pat answer. Hang on to God. Keep praying. And do not fret. Second thing, the other side of that. Excuse me. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh, sorry. Second thing, the other side of that. the answer to Asaph's question, well, what's the point? Why should I bother following God when all I get is trouble and heartache and strife? And you seem to be doing far better when you're not following God than when you are. And the answer to that is throughout the psalm. Loads of stuff that God promises. That middle bit of our reading, I love that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. There's blessing, there's security. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's blessing. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. There's justice. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. There's the promise. There's a future. There's a hope. For David and for his people, it was the land that God had promised to them. For us, it's eternity in Jesus' presence. A future and a hope. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Peace. And meanwhile, while you're wondering about all that, verse 23. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. The Lord upholds him with his hand. Strength to cope. God's presence with us. All of that and more of that. That's the point of following God. That's what he promises us. That's what he gives us when we need it. So take heart. In the middle of all our troubles and problems and difficulties and heartaches, take heart. Hold on to God. Look at things from his perspective. His love, his care, his provision, his guidance, his presence, his help. Better than anything that will accrue to us from doing wrong. Better than anything that the world can offer to us. Yeah, okay, sometimes he doesn't take all our problems away all at once. Now, this minute. But hang on in there. Hang on to him. In the end, he will work it out. And it will be for our good. And it will be for his glory. Because he's promised all these things. And they'll come to us. Do not fret. There is a point to following God. It does make sense. It will work out. Third thing. The part we play. That's spelled out in Psalm 37 as well. In two ways. He puts it negatively and then he puts it positively. Negatively, where he starts. Do not fret because of evil men. Do not be envious of those who do wrong. And do not get to the point that Asaph got to in Psalm 73. What's the point of following God? Do not give in to that temptation. Asaph almost does. And his conclusion is, well, I can't understand it, but I'm happy to leave it to God. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. And in God's presence, none of it's important anymore. all that's important. He's God's presence. And then he puts it positively, all the stuff we've just thought about. And this is our part. All those blessings that God gives us and promises us, we have a part to play. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Like we said, don't always get things sorted straight away, but wait patiently for him. It isn't always easy. I don't find waiting easy. I'd much rather things were sorted. I don't like things hanging over me. But they do. Okay. I was looking at the book of Revelation, of all things. I don't often go there. But more than once in Revelation, when he's talking about the church being persecuted and people being oppressed and even killed for their faith, more than once he says, this situation, this oppression, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Yeah, that's it. That's our part. Patient endurance and faithfulness. It's the opposite of where Asaph is tempted to go. What's the point? Why should I bother? Stick with God through it all, and he will stick with us. Hand it all to him. Leave it with him. Trust him to understand. Trust him to empathize with us. Trust him to take it and sort it. And to keep all those promises that we mentioned, security and justice and hope and peace and strength to cope, and his presence with us while we're waiting for him to sort it, to see us through to the point where he does finally sort it for us. In the end, the last verse of Psalm 37, almost the last verse, is what it's all about. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, hang on to that. He is your stronghold in time of trouble. Or as Peter puts it, cast all your cares and your worries and your anxieties and your problems and your difficulties and your fretting, cast it all on him, because he cares for you. Hang on to God. We're going to spend a little time in prayer together with that thought in mind. God is our stronghold in time of trouble. But before we do that, we're going to sing again.